Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship this day. We are glad that each and every one of you are here this morning. There are blue friendship pads located in your pews. We would love for you to take those and pass them down the row with your name, adding your name to them as they go by. This is a way to let you get to know the folks who are worshiping around you this morning. If you are a guest with us, we'd like to especially welcome you. And inside of that friendship pad are some connection cards. We would love for you to take one of those and fill that out and place it in our offering plate when it is passed later. This helps you get to know us better and us get to know you better. We would love for you to do that. And welcome. We are so glad that you are here this morning. I hope that you find this place to be a place of worship and a place of family and a place of rest. This morning, we have Dr. Steve Bolton coming. Dr. Bolton is a retired pastor after 41 years of serving churches in North Carolina and Tennessee, mostly in Raleigh and in Oxford. You can read more about him in your worship guide. But good morning and welcome, Dr. Bolton. We are glad that you are here this morning. And you will see we have several of our Passport campers wearing their shirts this morning. And we look forward to hearing from them a little later in our service. Again, welcome. Let us worship together.
I invite you to turn in your worship guides and find the opening sentences that we will share together. Come to me, Jesus invites.
We come to you.
Come to me if you are tired.
We come to you.
Come to me if you carry burdens.
We come to you.
Come and discover rest for your souls.
May we stand and share the song.
Good morning. I am so glad to see all of you this morning. Some of my Passport camper friends would like to tell you about something that they learned about at camp.
When I asked them what they wanted to share with the church when they came back, one of the first things they said was about our mission offering at camp. So, Will, can you tell us what our mission offering was at camp?
Our mission offering was going to a country in Africa called Malawi, and there's a charity from in Malawi called Watering Malawi that the person that started Passport's wife started that Watering Malawi, and it goes to making like hand washing stations at school and
okay. So he's right. So Watering Malawi was our mission offering for the week. Sarah, can you tell us why Watering Malawi is important to the people in Malawi?
Watering Malawi is important to the other people in Malawi because they don't really have clean water, and that can make them really sick. And also some of the girls and children have to go out 8 hours a day trying to get water even if it's not clean.
Right. They spend the most time of their day going to get water for their family. If you had a day and could do anything you want, what is the one thing that you would spend the most time doing? Any of you? You would be finding water? All the kids in Malawi are finding water. So I know that one over there, if he could spend his time doing anything he wanted, it would be some version of technology, right? It would be some kind of video game, or this one would be watching YouTube. You would be trying to invent something, okay? Now, in Malawi, the women and the children, especially the girl children, the one thing they spend most of their hours of the day doing is going to get water. And they travel. Do y'all remember how many hours it is? 4 to 8, right? 4 to 8 hours getting water. Now, once they go and get that water, how do they bring it back?
On a bucket that they have to carry on their head.
Right, they have to carry the bucket on their head. Did you get to try that?
Yeah.
Yeah, at the night market, you got to carry the water on your head, right? What else did you have to carry at the night market?
We had to carry baby dolls on our back.
Right, you had to carry a baby on your back because quite often these women or girls have to take their child or their baby brother or sister on their back with them and the water on their head and walk several hours back home with their water. Now, once they get the water there, is it clean?
No, it's not clean.
All right, it's not clean. So if they don't clean it and then they drink the water, that it makes them sick, right? Now, at 8:45, those kids really wanted to share something else they learned at the night market about how are the schools in Malawi different than ours?
The schools in Malawi are different than ours because they don't really have hand washing stations or anything, and they don't really have bathrooms either. It's just kind of like a hole in the ground.
Right, so their bathroom is just a hole in the ground. And they don't have toilet paper. And then they, on top of that, they don't have a way to wash their hands when they get done. So then what happens if all the kids go to the bathroom and then they don't wash their hands? What happens to all the kids at school?
They all get sick.
Yeah, they all get sick, right? So some of the things that Watering Malawi does is help drill wells. They help with filtration systems to help make their water clean. They help build hand washing stations so that the kids can wash their hands after they go to the bathroom. They help teach the people that the water is dirty and that they need to clean it before they drink it. And they also help them do sustainable farming. And they help with fish farms because that gives the people an income and gives them a way to eat. And it also gives them something that they can sell and make money for their families. Now, I have for you a bracelet. Right now, it is just a piece of blue string. So I want you to pass that around and take it. And then when you get back to your seat, I want you to get your mom or dad or whoever brought you to help you tie one of these on your wrist. And every time you see it, I want you to remember the people in Malawi and all the good work that Watering Malawi is doing. Just take one and pass it. They're all the same. So this can be your reminder to pray for the people in Malawi. At camp, our campers, together with all the other campers, raised over $2,000 to help Watering Malawi do all of the work that they do. And that was the one thing that our campers wanted to tell you all the most, was about how the people in Malawi need clean water. So can you pray with me? Dear God, we thank you for Watering Malawi and the work that they are doing. Please help us to remember them each time we see our bracelets, each time we turn on our water and drink from a fountain. Help us to be thankful for the clean water that we have and to do what we can to help those who need clean water where they live. In your name we pray. Amen.
Our Passport campers would like to share with you a little bit more about their week and the things that they learned while at Passport. Will?
Our theme this week at Passport was Do Love Walk, which is from Micah 6:8, which says, "What does the Lord require of you but to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with God?"
First day, we studied Do Justice. We read the story of the rich young ruler and learned that God wants us to treat others fairly. We talked about how sometimes making decisions to follow God is difficult but important. Our preacher told us a story about a girl that at the school he works at. The girl is a bully and is mean to everyone. Later, he learned that the girl has a really hard life and her family's not always nice to her. He encourages us to understand that sometimes there's a reason that people are mean. We don't have to let them be mean to us, but we should always be nice to them and love them like God loves them.
On the second day, we studied love kindness. We read the story of the Good Samaritan and talked about loving others no matter who they are. In our Bible study, we read Mother's Day versions of this story and talked about how we can still raise this story today. Pastor told us a really neat story about two refuge children who love kindness by sharing a single pair of shoes. If you want to read the story, you can check out the book 4 Feet 2 Sandals.
Being humble is really saying that you are not better than anyone else. We after he was so mean to her and her family. This time, the pastor used movies to help us understand that sometimes being someone's sidekick is a pretty cool role to play. During Campus Choice, I was part of a group that learned a dance that we performed as part of worship.
One of our favorite nights in Passport is the night marker. Here we actually got to visit the country of Malawi and see what it would be like to live there. It helped us understand exactly what our mission offering is going towards and why it is so important. And one of my favorite parts at the night market was getting to try and taste the fruit from Malawi.
Thank you. As you can hear, they did have a fabulous week. They would love to share more of their stories with you, so if you see one of them wearing your Passport shirt or one of our chaperones, ask them questions and let them tell you more about their wonderful week together. Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, we thank you for our campers and that they come to camp with an open heart and an open mind, ready to learn more about you and to experience your love and your work and your word in their world. Thank you for the chaperones and the Passport staff that made this possible. Thank you for this church who supported them. We thank you for Watering Malawi and all of the work that they are doing to help women and children and families in Malawi to access clean water. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
scripture from Romans. I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing that I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree that the law is good. But in fact, it is no longer I that do it, but the sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells within me, that is, in my flesh. I can will what is right, but I cannot do it. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I that do it, but the sin that dwells within me. So if I find it to be a law, that when I want to do what is good, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inmost self. But I see in my members another law, at war with the law of my mind, making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then hear these words of our Christ from the Gospel of Matthew. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. May God add understanding to the readings of these lessons. Thanks be to God.
Come, thou fount of every blessing. I'm enjoying being with you today. It's good to see you. There are some people here who have shared paths with me over the years. Some pleasant memories. Join us as we, Karen and I, come to share this time of worship with you. I'm so glad for the history that we share together. And we do have history, do we not? The Baptist connections are many and varied. And we have enjoyed one another over the years at times in various meetings, sometimes in churches where we've served, but together. But it's been good. And I'm glad to come and connect with you and share with you in this time of transition that your church is facing. You know, today's scripture calls for us to deal with burdens. And there are other places where Paul talks about burdens, and one in particular was Galatians chapter 6, where he says, every one of us must carry our own load. And then he also says, bear you one another's burdens, and thus fulfill the law of Christ. There's so many varied burdens. People at different stages of life find themselves weighed down at times. Even today, I know, you know, there are burdens being borne. Burdens of grief, regrets, burdens of anger, unresolved, everyday fears, this pervasive uneasiness for our country, and the intractable problems that we face here and abroad. You can call it baggage, and it is. It may not be a bucket of water on the head or a baby on the back, but we're all carriers. So with this heavy stuff that weighs upon and wearies human beings, we need to listen to this scripture and see if we can identify with Paul and learn from him. He comes right at us, confessing his heaviest burden is himself, his own sinful humanity. I do not understand what I do, he says. For what I want to do, I do not do, and what I hate, I do. Now, a lot of people are surprised that Paul, who was called the greatest Christian of all time by many folks, is revealing this intense struggle that he had with a demoralizing burden of sin. And we've all been there, I think, not understanding why we do what we do, why we continue to do something so wrong. Even when we were children, our parents stood before us, not only accusing, but wanting to know why we just made such a mess or why we disobeyed a direct command. What was our standard response? I don't know. We often don't understand why, as Paul's standard response was also, I don't know. I don't know why I do the very thing I hate. And in reading Paul's explanation, I had a flashback of a time when I was 19 years old. Just finished my freshman year, and I went to work for a construction company in Knoxville, Tennessee, to help pay some of my bills in college. And I went to work for Jim Beale, who was a master mason, skilled carpenter, and he was foreman on the job. And he had a standard explanation, and as he tried to take this 19-year-old boy under his wing and teach him or give him a real education, he said, in the school of hard knocks. I had a hard knock one day. I was trying to put in a 2x4 up high, and I had evidently not cut it exactly right. It lacked about a quarter of an inch fitting. I decided I was going to force it in. I took my hammer and I hit that thing as hard as I could, And instead of giving and going in, it bounced back and it knocked the hammer out of my head. And the claw of the hammer went right there to my eye. I didn't wear glasses in those days. I was bleeding profusely. I went to Jim. He took the handkerchief off my face and he took one look and he says it before he sent me to get stitches. And he said, "Boy, did you ever have your do wrong in gear this time?" Now, I don't know all that Jim meant by do wrong, but I think he explains a little bit what Paul means. When Paul says, you know, that he didn't know why he did wrong. You know, and he explains it, though, in terms of sin and evil. He says, "I want to do right, but sin and evil are always there." We humans are always getting our family matters, our church relationships, we're getting our social and business dealings tangled up at times because we too are compulsively sinful. Sometimes we're downright selfish, other times we're impatient, immature, and plain wrong. Every day, everywhere, though, people will deceive themselves. They will deny that sin and evil is really at work in them. Who, me? I find something profoundly healthy in Paul's honest confession. It's healthy for him. It's healthy for us that this apostle recognized, and we can recognize, that he wasn't as holy and as perfectly in control as we may have thought he was. And it's good for our own spiritual and emotional health to know that. For by being humbly aware and honestly transparent about our own humanity, we Christians can claim not only hope for ourselves, but we can offer encouragement and hope to fellow sinners. Because every time we forget that we are human, every time we forget that sin and evil has its reign over our lives, we're going to act in inhuman ways, sometimes destructive towards ourselves and the other people around us. And that which prevents us from facing and admitting our human sinfulness may well be what is our heaviest burden, our pride. Pride enables us to do wrong more than anything else I know, because it's as deceptive as it is subtle. Pride tempts everybody to protect this self-image we have. We like to be thought of as having it all together, being super cool, always in control, living above reproach, not letting anybody see us sweat. This reputation that we have, this self-image that is ours, is important to us all. Yet I wonder if our own society realizes how heavy, how deadly the burden of pride can be. Many of you, I'm sure, read and know about that 1987 Mount Everest expedition when 8 climbers died. Author of that book, John Krakauer, was there on that unforgiving mountain. He admits struggling to answer why and what drove him and others to throw caution to the wind and to willingly subject themselves to such danger and hardship and expense. $65,000 to climb Everest. Then. And even though he made it to the top and managed to get down safely himself, Krakauer confesses today that climbing Everest was the worst mistake he ever made in his life. Because today he lives with post-traumatic stress disorder and a burden of remorse over the 8 frozen bodies that expedition left on the mountain. He sums up the cause of the tragic outcome with one word: pride. Human beings can be so blind to their ego addiction ignoring pride's danger until it either ruins themselves or causes us to lose the gifts of life, sometimes life itself. And we're all burdened with pride. We don't like to admit or face or confess like Paul did that we have a losing battle with sin and evil. Some of you may have read about the legal battle today that's over the ownership of Alcoholics Anonymous is the Big Book. Big Book was supposed to go on sale in the 1st of June, I read. And, you know, it was written in 1939, the manuscript, the original manuscript, and now that manuscript was being put up for sale and they expected to get as much as $3 million out of it until AAA sued and stomped it. And the reason is so important, it was said, because it helped the lives of so many millions of alcoholics. It's one of the important manuscripts of the world, according to the historian of AA. Well, whoever ends up owning that manuscript should be familiar anyway with AA's 12 steps and traditions. If for no other reason than most families today at some time are burdened with this form of addiction, any form of addiction. And Christians, I think, will appreciate and recognize that the first of the AA 12 steps of recovery is to admit we are powerless, that our lives have become unmanageable. And you know, the original AA program was based on one man's Christian faith. And I think sometimes that he was echoing Paul, who admitted, "The evil I want to do, I don't want to do, I keep on doing." Admitting that one is not in control is tough on proud, independent people everywhere. But it's forever the first step towards any hope of redemption. And while admission of powerlessness is the first step, the second step in the Big Book says is to believe that there is a power greater than ourselves who can restore us. And that is why Paul proclaims and gives thanks for his only hope of freedom and rescue from this body of death, he says, is God working through Jesus Christ. Thanks be unto God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, Paul had accepted this great, grand invitation, this offer to exchange one's crushing personal burden, whatever it might be, for the rest and the rescue that Jesus himself offered him. "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke, my teachings upon you. Learn from me, and you will find rest for your soul." Now that invitation comes from the very heart of God to the heart of our humanity. Today, if you were to make the trip, the journey, the pilgrimage to Israel, you would find that about halfway up the Mount of Olives is a church that's built in the form of a teardrop. It's called Dominus Flevit, or the Lord Wept. And if you were going to that church there on the Mount of Olives, you would sit down and you would look up, and there is a window that frames the old Jerusalem and the wall around it. Dominus Flevit commemorates the day Jesus sat on that Mount of Olives and grieved over all of those proud, ignorant, hostile people of that city that rejected him. "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I would have gathered you as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing." Jesus still weeps for those who refuse to admit powerlessness and relinquish their burden, who through pride deny their humanity and deny themselves the truth of Jesus' teaching, who choose to remain blind to the miracles of his grace and keep ignoring his compassionate invitation. The Lord knows how difficult and heavy a legalistic, proud life can be. He knows the lift of God's grace and truth too. And he also weeps over not only a lost world, but maybe also some of us Christians who may have forgotten grace or taken our mind off grace, our focus off of the grace of God, and reshouldered the burden of pride and fallen back into old legalistic patterns. Several years ago, I witnessed a near tragedy. It was a sister church who had fallen into turmoil over three factions within its congregation. There was what I would term a traditional Baptist group, whatever that could mean. There was a fundamentalist group, and there was also a charismatic group of people, and all of them were vying for control of this congregation. The conscientious pastor who had been there worked for a long time to keep peace and put out the fires that were happening every week. But the day came when he was exhausted, he was burned out, and he was defeated, and he suffered a complete breakdown in every way. And in the months of his slow recovery, with the help of professionals and the support of family and friends, he came to see and confess his near-fatal error. He was the son of a watch repairman. And his father's watchword to him was repeatedly ingrained on his young conscience. "Son," he would tell him, "don't ever give it back until it's fixed." Healing for him meant turning loose of that proud parental admonition haunting his very soul and surrendering himself and the conflicted church situation to the grace and the mercy of God. There are some things in this world and our own lives that we sinful, limited human beings can neither control nor fix, much less carry. So when it comes to what we have to carry and what and when we need to turn loose or surrender, Christians have to learn to practice a very careful spiritual discernment. Yes, we all have to bear our own load. There are burdens we cannot get out from under. Yes, because of who we are as the church and as the people of Christ, we are to fulfill the law of Christ and bear one another's burdens. But at times when it's all too heavy, when our lives are at that point where we know we cannot keep carrying this burden, we are to cast our burden upon the Lord, who invites us to do that very thing. And even though pride keeps telling us to hold on and carry ourselves and the world at all costs, Jesus calls us to come unto me, all ye who are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Nobody and nothing makes a promise like Jesus, who calls all the weary to come, placing our burdens on him, letting him help us sort it all out. And he offers an exchange for us, taking the stuff that is crushing us and offering us the bearable, the light, the renewing, even restful burden of God's truth, God's love, and God's grace. The question we have to answer all the time is, are we getting the rest we need? Are we taking the rest Christ offers us? What is it that is wearying your soul? Who or what are you carrying today that you need to surrender to Jesus? The Lord is always calling. Are we resting in him? And I believe that's the word of God for the people of God today.
The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Please turn. Greet those around you with the peace of our Christ. Peace of Christ be with you. As you take your seats, I'm going to invite the Arkansas Mission Team to come and join me at the front. Greystone has been sending folks to Helena, Arkansas for years now. And the good thing about that is that these folks who continue to go get to see what happens over time. They get to see children who are in swim camps and in bookmobiles and in reading clubs become leaders in their community, to go on to college and to shape the future of that community and of our community, of our world. And so we are so delighted that these will be going to Helena, Arkansas on the 14th. They'll leave on Saturday and then spend a week there and come back and report back to us. Let's take a moment to pray as a congregation and to bless them as they go. We pray, O God, that you would bless these, your servants. Grant to them hearts made tender by your love and compassion. Grant to them arms made strong by the power of your very presence. Give to them minds eager to put the words of Scripture and of our faith into action. Give them a will colored and shaped by your will. We pray this day that you would bless these, your servants, O God, our friends and our brothers and sisters. Bless the gifts that they offer to the people of Helena, Arkansas. May they build up the body of Christ. May they bring hope and healing and love. And may these gifts be always used for your glory. We pray this morning also for our church, that we would be wise stewards of the gifts among us, that none go neglected, unused, or wasted. Grant to us all the grace to see in one another our calling to be servants. Grant to us the grace to live out that calling each and every day, here in Raleigh or even in Arkansas. By your Son, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen. As you leave today, thank these, your friends, for going on your behalf, for serving, and for carrying a good word from this place, and for receiving a word once they get there. Thank you. Just a few other announcements. You will see that we are collecting food. There is a different item each week. My favorite week is when you're supposed to bring scotch tape. So you'll see that listing for Raleigh Urban Ministries in your bulletin. Please take note, and when you go to the grocery store this week, pick up an item to share with folks in our community. Know that July has 5 Sundays, and so on the last Sunday of July, our children will be collecting pocket change. So empty out your sofa cushions and the cup holder in your car, bring that change on the 5th Sunday, and we will share that money along with our foods to Raleigh Urban Ministries. Also, in your worship guide and in your newsletter, you will see that Bill Wilson, Dr. Bill Wilson, who comes to us from the Center for Healthy Churches, it will be with us not this Monday, but next Monday. And he'll join us for dessert and for discussion about what the shape of an interim is for a church and what are some of the markers that we can see as we move down this journey. So it's good to have a trusted guide and a friend and an expert come and talk with us. Join us not this Monday, but next Monday at 6:30 in the Fellowship Hall. If you need childcare, please contact April Austin, and we're doing that by reservation. So, you understand about Dr. Bill Wilson, and you know it's summer, so Vacation Bible School is about to happen. Please sign up your children, please register, and please volunteer. You see information about that in your worship guide. Also, it is my great joy to share with you that Samuel Brown joined our congregation this morning, making his profession of faith and requesting from Greystone that he be baptized in this church. So it was a good day for our 8:45 worship, and I share that good news with you this morning. There is much that goes on in the life of our church. We are so pleased that Dr. Bolton was with us today and will be with us next Sunday. As you move about in your week ahead, know that this is a community of faith that stands ready to support you, to encourage you, and to help you. And as we stand together to sing our way out, let's remember those words. Know that God loves us and has called us to be a blessing in the midst of the earth. Go in peace, knowing that the new covenant of right relationship with humanity, with God, and with the earth, well, it lives in your heart, and it will motivate your being every moment of this coming week. Go in peace. Amen.